It's not a dream. It's podcast number 16. So grab a snack and I'll be right back.
Eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one.
I'm back. Hope you got a really good snack. Okay, no more rhyming. As you're hearing this podcast, Kat is on her way to Germany. And if you listen closely, you might just hear the plane take off. Well, there she goes. I hope you all waved as she flew by up in the sky. Oh, wait. No, I said no more rhyming. All right. Enjoy the podcast, everyone.
Well, I'm so glad to be here today. You know, it's been a while.
Yay!
I've been so busy. Woohoo! I'm excited.
It's nice to be having.
I know, and I've got some very burning subjects to talk about, but I'm going to pick just one for right now. We're going to talk about the sword of the Lord.
Ooh.
People go, what's that? It talks about it very openly in the Bible. It is the sword that comes out of his mouth when he is the Lord of glory, and I've seen him look that way. He's got the crowns on his head. His eyes are flames of fire. And he has this two-edged sword that comes out of his mouth. We're going to learn about that two-edged sword tonight.
Awesome.
It's very important for us to understand about walking in the Spirit and not stepping into the flesh. Because that sword, the reason he has it is to divide asunder in us the Spirit from the flesh. Because he wants us to walk in the Spirit, hear in the Spirit, and it's a place that you live. It's a lifestyle choice that you choose. To live like he did, to be like he was. And Jesus rarely ever stepped into the flesh. Maybe when he threw the tables over, you know, in the temple, and he was ticked off at him about selling the cheap sacrifices. And what made him so mad was they were selling spotted sacrifices. And back in that day, you had to have a perfect, unspotted lamb, whatever your sacrifice was, no matter if it was a dove or a lamb or whatever it was. It had to be unspotted. It had to be perfect. And they were selling blemished cattle, lambs, doves, whatever. And of course, the courtyard of the temple, which probably didn't make him real happy. But it was because they were cheating the people to get sacrifices that they were supposed to offer up to God for the forgiveness of their sins. You know,
dishonest.
They had to do that all the time. Then once a year, they only got forgiven. Aren't you glad we don't have to wait for that day? Thank you, God, for grace, for Jesus Christ. Of course, we shouldn't be spending a lifetime of repentance, okay? We shouldn't even be thinking that. We should be running after being holy like he was. And holy is a fun thing. We'll talk about that another time. But that sword is so significant. It's such a powerful thing to him that he would even appear that way as the Lord of glory. I've seen him. The way he looked when he walked on the earth, I've seen him in his glorified body, and I've seen him as the Lord of glory. You'll be speechless if you ever see him like that. The waves of power that come off of him as the King of Kings. And he sincerely wants us to learn, yes, about the supernatural, yes, about the spirit realm. We as believers who follow Christ have the right to have access to the spirit realm. I've talked about it many times. It's the unseen realm. And Christ himself would step into that place, especially when they were trying to throw him over the cliff or do something to him. He would take a little sidestep and step into the spirit realm, and he would be invisible because it itself is an invisible realm. So that spirit realm, it was created by him for us as believers that we have the right to do that. People are traveling through the spirit realm right now. God's sending them on missions there. But even though that's wonderful, the most important thing in your life you can do is learn to walk in the spirit and not be in the flesh all the time. What does in the flesh mean? That's your flesh. Your attitude, your rights. You know, you getting angry or getting offended at people. And we shouldn't be doing that. Not as believers. We're supposed to be witnesses on the earth of Christ, witnesses of representation of heaven itself. So we need to learn to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says, Jesus said himself, actually, when you're going forward in the kingdom, you know, you're going forward, you're making a difference with your life, you're walking in the Spirit, you're hearing the Spirit of God, obeying him. So, you know, we're living our life for him, again, going forward in the kingdom. And Christ said, when you go forward in the kingdom, do not step back. Because if you step back, you will not be fit for the kingdom. People think that means they're going to be thrown out, you know, they won't be allowed in heaven or something. That's not what that means. If you're going forward and you're walking in the Spirit, you're doing powerful conquest for God, working with the host of heaven, laying down your life for others, which means you're not giving them your opinions, your attitudes, and your rights. You're being like Christ. And when you step back, the reason Christ said don't step back, you're not fit. That means you're not going to be operating. If you step back into your flesh, if you're going to bash people, trash people, judgmental, critical attitude coming out of your mouth, when before you were going forward in the Spirit, when you step back, you make yourself a big target for the enemy, number one, because you're no longer representing Christ when you're in your flesh. And if you bash and trash people, you could easily be attacked by the enemy. So when Christ said you're not fit, that means you're not in the right shape. Like an Olympic champion who's been training for 4 years, 8 years to be in the Olympics. If you decided 2 months away from the Olympics that you weren't going to do that, you would not be fit. You would not be in the right shape, the right condition, the right level, the same level you were, and you tried to compete, you would lose. And that's the same thing in the kingdom of God. If you're going forward and you're being powerful in the Spirit, you're treating others and respecting others, other people, not bashing, trashing, repeating matters about people, you're not in your flesh. But when you step back in that flesh, you're in a whole different position in the Spirit realm. You have placed yourself almost into the camp of the enemy because you're now bashing, trashing, cursing, and you should not do that. And that's why Christ has come to divide asunder our spirit man from the flesh. Your flesh needs to die. That means you die to yourself, to your rights, to your opinions, your attitudes, your ugliness, whatever it is you want to bash people with. That's not going to represent Christ in the earth. There's a scripture in the Word that also talks about that, about walking in the Spirit and also stepping into your flesh. Because it says to be spiritually minded is life. We know that. To be fleshly minded is death. That means it's not a good thing. It's going to take you to a lower level of authority and dominion. You yourself will not be the same representative you were for Christ before you stepped into your flesh and was hateful and ugly to people. But the Word says if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of your flesh. That means you're not going to, if you feel like it, just because you're angry or upset, you're not going to bash people or trash people with our mouth, because out of our mouth, blessing and cursing should not come out of the same mouth or fountain. The Word also talks about that, because you're being double-minded kind of when you do that. So our purpose and our focus should be walk in the Spirit, because when we're in that place with Christ and we're going forward doing things with him, you will not fulfill those desires of your flesh to say whatever comes into your head. Ugly, hateful, bashing. Like, let's say you're going forward in the kingdom. You're a great representative. Maybe you have a platform, a voice that you can speak for God and everything, and you're out somewhere, and something happens. Say somebody runs into the back of your car, bumps you. You get up and start swearing at them. You stepped into the flesh. Okay, you know better. That's not who you've been. That's not who you were called to be. And yet you, in that moment in time, let your flesh take over your spirit man and did what it wanted to. Let me tell you, that's not going to be a good witness. The enemy will laugh in hell because he'll know you did that. And we need to be aware that we're being watched all the time. But that's a good example. Another good example is, let's say you are in charge of a group of people or something, and you've been showing them how to walk in the Spirit, and you're being a great witness, great attitude. And somebody makes a mistake. Maybe they make a mistake in your administration part or some bookkeeping or something, let's say. And you are ticked off. Automatically, you just step into your flesh because you haven't been guarding yourself. You can get very lax in this If you step in your flesh over and over again, it comes like a daily routine. You just get angry at something, then the next day you stay angry, and then that will make you angry about something else. You have to guard your heart about what not just goes into you, but what comes out of you. And so this person who's in charge of this group runs down there and just bashes and crushes this person to pieces. And they respect this leader, and this is not a real person, by the way. They respect them, they honor them. Well, anything they say, they really take it to heart. They just made a mistake, but this person stepped into the flesh and crushed them. I will tell you right now, Jesus Christ will not be very happy with you, because not only were you given the care and the mentoring and the covering of this group of people, you stepped into your own flesh because you felt like it. You were angry, but then you went beyond anger. You bash somebody and crush somebody. And you know what? That actually could affect that person for the rest of their life, and you wouldn't even know it. They would come back again and again to work, and that would remain in them if they didn't know about loosening it. We have to be careful how we treat people. You know, even Christ was careful. The only ones he ridiculed was the religious hierarchy of the day that was already sinning behind closed doors, and he knew it, but they were supposed to be leaders, and they were putting all these burdens on the people. You have to give this many sacrifices, you have to pray this many times, you know, and yet they themselves are living ungodly lives. So he didn't mind saying something to them. I like what he called them, whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. That means those people were supposed to be leaders in that day, religious leaders, were not doing it, and they were actually hurting the people. That's what he thought about them. But that was not stepping in the flesh. He was just being honest and truthful. We really sincerely need to be careful how we treat people, talk to people, especially our own family. And I know probably more than anyone else, they irritate you because they're family, you live with them. You have to really learn to love like Christ did. And I mean, hello, if he can hang on the cross and he forgave people, even while he was hanging on the cross, and they were slandering him, cursing him, probably throwing rocks, you know, while he was dying on the cross for all of us. And he said, forgive them, Father. They don't even know what they're doing. But we as believers should be aware of what the Word says, take it seriously, and your number one thing in your life should be to fall in love with Jesus Christ. And the Word says to love others and think of others more highly than yourself. So that's what our goal should be. It's wonderful to travel in the spirit realm, have heavenly encounters, and even ruling with Christ, commanding the host of heaven. But if you continually step into your flesh, there's only so much God can do with you, because he can't have you do that in front of other people and be seen if you're representing him. So this is wisdom for today. Watch your flesh. Keep it under. Keep going forward in the spirit. Stay excited about what we're doing this day, which is in the kingdom age. Get up every single morning and say, yes, Father, I ask for and receive grace for this day. He will fill you with fuel from heaven for that whole day. And let me tell you, myself and my staff and my family know how much that changes you to do that. If you haven't, something that you have an encounter, not a godly one, but let's say an ungodly one, somebody bashes you or trashes you, make sure you choose to loose it immediately. I choose as an act of my will to loose all the unkind, harsh, ugly, hateful words from my soul. I will not keep them there in Jesus' name. And you know what? Heaven will come down and pull them out. And I'm telling you, you can live successful, victorious life in this time. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to have fun. But remember, the most important thing we need to learn is to walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the desires of our own flesh. Amen?
Amen.
That was awesome. Any questions?
I was going to say, you have time for a few questions?
Sure.
Let's see what we got, because I haven't looked in a while. Here's a fun one. What is fishing like in heaven? This is from Stephanie on podcast. She said, you said that with hunting, the animals don't get hurt, but what is fishing like in heaven?
It depends. There's actually, and I don't know if I've ever really explained this, there's two kind of fish in the crystal sea. Some you can catch and eat.
Oh.
They're not like creatures. It's just food. And even they are only made out of light.
Yeah.
So they don't have these fish that people can catch and eat. I know I've actually seen Christ do that. And people do that in heaven if they just, they don't have to do it to have food, but they just really love that. But there are other fish. Most of the fish in the Crystal Sea are creatures who have a mind, who have emotions, who have opinions, and they also have a soul. They live in heaven, but they talk. They will talk to you, and they will say, if you think you're catching me, you are very wrong. And they have to be careful, because if they hook one of those fish, they're going to get pulled into the Crystal Sea and dragged for miles. Now, it won't kill that person, but they'll have the ride of their life the whole time that big fish is laughing at you. So you have to know what you're doing, even when you're fishing in heaven. But they do have both kinds of fishing.
That would be so funny to see, actually.
Yes, like the hunters hunting the animals that can find them. And they have, I told you before, they have like a camera scope. And that's what they shoot them when they capture their picture.
Mm-hmm.
But most hunters who go to heaven rarely capture those creatures. They're usually the one who's pegged on the big screen back at the lodge. They were already captured. They were caught by these other creatures. So you got to be quick and know what you're doing with that too. So fishing and hunting is very different in heaven.
Awesome. This is just kind of a thing that popped in my head. A lot of people have been questioning the tattoo thing again. So I thought, if you could just refresh everybody.
Yes, I'll be glad to refresh them.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, marking, is in the Bible, it's called marking. And in Leviticus, the scripture, literally, I know they have translated and retranslated the Bible so many times, that now in Leviticus, it actually says, in some of the newer translations, don't put a tattoo on yourself. But that is not what it said in the original word.
Mm-hmm.
It said back in the day in Leviticus, it was always about the culture of the day. And if you were unaware of what the culture was of that day, you can take something out of the word, not even understand what it's talking about. So back in the day, they were taking parts of their body, like arms, hands, and they, while they were alive, and they would lay them on the altar to these gods, these false gods. They would burn parts of their own body for these false gods. And they would put marks, they would cut themselves with marks of demons. They would put the sign of demons, the sign of death on them. And that's what they were doing. And they were doing all this to worship false gods. And demons loved it when they did that. So in their law of that day, they put down in Leviticus, you will not mark yourself with the marks of the dead. It did not say you could not mark yourself, because Christ himself marks you when you go to heaven. You will have the name of the city of your God in your forehead, and in the palm of your hand will be another mark, which is, you can call it a tattoo if you want to. It's going to be a mark, a permanent mark. There will be the name of your God. So in your forehead and in the palm of your hand, you get marked when you go to heaven.
That's right.
God also puts marks on different tribes of angels. It's a symbol that he marks them with, or puts on them a permanent mark that you can see all over heaven. They know what tribe that angel came from, because the angels are created in tribes. Also, go back to Cain and Abel. You know, when Cain killed Abel, God put a permanent mark on Cain that was never there before. People could visibly see it, so they wouldn't kill him. Now, we don't know why God decided that, but we know he did. So he used a visible permanent mark on Cain so people would know that God had marked him, that you would not be able to kill him. And in the day we're living in and in the future, God is going to mark people. And I mean, literally, he's going to put a permanent visible mark on it. He probably doesn't have to use needles to do that. And people used to do that in many different ways, even in the past. And I know there's ones that aren't permanent. There's like henna ones that are done with henna that are like temporary things and other things. But the main thing is this. Do not put marks that represent hell, Satan, the dead, or evil on you. Because then you are marking yourself for Satan.
That's what makes it ungodly.
That's what makes it ungodly.
Yeah.
And so back in the day, in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, when it said, do not mark yourself with the marks of the dead, that's what that was about. Do not put demons' faces on you, or skulls, which represent death. If you have a skull, I'd go back to the tattoo artist and him put them crossed down in the middle of that skull, which means victory over death, or Christ is over, you know, over evil. And I tell people, those marks, if you can have them changed, get them changed. Don't represent hell. And one more thing, in the days coming forward, God will personally mark 144,000 Jews for special works that they will do in the earth in the day he does it, and you will see that mark on them, and it will be God's mark. So I hope that helps people.
Awesome. All right, we'll do one more question. This is from Janice in Los Angeles, and she is wondering if there are female angels or just male angels.
The proper term is feminine in appearance or masculine in appearance. There really aren't male and female angels, but people don't know how else to say it. There are some very feminine, beautiful, beautiful angels in heaven, and yes, they look feminine. That would mean they would look sort of like a female. They don't necessarily have all the same parts that females do down here, but they definitely are feminine in appearance. And a lot of those take care of the waterfalls, the brooks, the flowers in heaven. Many of them are in the nurseries caring for the babies. Wisdom, which is a spirit, the spirit of wisdom, which is a real spirit, that she is feminine. And it calls her she in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually has access to go in and out of God. This is, of course, a supernatural spiritual being that God created. It's not a human who died and moved to heaven. And so she lives there in heaven. She is the spirit of wisdom. And she's feminine looking. She's very beautiful looking. And, of course, there are many masculine angels.
Yeah. And there are even angels that appear as children.
Yes. They have some that look like little kids, little tiny kids. Maybe a year old, 2 years old, but their skin is just a teeny bit transparent. And God created them on purpose so that when little children come to heaven, they will have new best friends.
Aww.
And they engage them in play, to go do things, to have fun together, because, you know, kids like to have friends.
That's sweet.
But these are highly intelligent, eternal beings, but they look like little children.
Yeah, and I know you also saw the ones that go in and out of the waterfalls. In heaven? Yes.
They're feminine looking.
Yeah.
And they look like green, like they're green iridescent, their whole being. And then like little sparkles of green light come off of them when they move. And they do care for the waterfalls. I've seen them step out of the waterfalls. They sing, they sound amazingly beautiful. They'll get you to just relax, and you just float on the river of life. As they sing. So, yes, there are many beautiful beings in heaven. And, of course, there's the creatures who don't look feminine or masculine at all, because they look like what you would call part animal, part human. But there are creatures, all kind of creatures up there that aren't even on the earth.
All right. Well, before we go, do you want to share about you going to Stuttgart, Germany?
Yeah, I'm very excited. I actually leave the day after tomorrow, and I'll be flying to Stuttgart, Germany, to Carl George's church there in Stuttgart. I don't think there's any charge to come. As far as I know, there's not.
I'm not sure either.
I don't know, but I know people will be coming from all over Europe, not just Germany, to hear me speak.
Yeah, for this conference.
Yeah, for that conference in Joshua Mills and
Brother Yoon.
Brother Yoon, I think
how you pronounce
they call
it.
Him the Heavenly Man.
Yeah.
He's going to be there. Carl George will be speaking. I'll be doing 3 meetings, and I'm very excited because the German people are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Really, God created Germany to carry the glory for him, but Satan got a hold of it and twisted it for his own purposes, but they're about to be redeemed in these months coming up, so
awesome.
I'm excited about going.
Okay, any last words before we go?
Nope, just may the host go with you. Walk in the spirit. Keep your flesh under.
Yep.
You'll be happier, everyone around you will be happier, and you'll bless Jesus Christ.
All right, bye everybody.
Bye.